This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You have 7 rings. Well, 8 now that Giselle gave hers back.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Chris Long here on the Rich Eisen Show. What did you think of the Brady roast?
Nikki Glaser's been on my radar for a while. She's the one you don't want to see at your roast.
Earlier on the show, SiriusXM NBA radio host Frank Isola from the new HBO comedy special Someday You'll Die. Comedian Nikki Glaser. Coming up from FX's The Veil, actor Josh Charles. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, it's another hour right here on the Rich Eisen Show, right here on the Roku channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate, SiriusXM, Odyssey, and more. I'm thrilled, quite frankly, to have my friend back here on the Rich Eisen Show in a new show that debuted back on April the 30th, 3 episodes in to The Veil, which is available right here on Roku through the Hulu app. My buddy, Mr. Josh Charles himself. Good to see you, Josh.
It's
how are you?
It's good to be here. It's good. Good to see you, my friend. You are the best dad ever, by the way.
Well, listen, I know you are, because you got your son Rocco here literally watching us across the set.
Walking around the stage.
That's fine. He's exploring the studio space.
Exploring the studio.
That's fine.
Just giving Chris a hard time.
That's fine. Good to see you.
It's great to see you. It's great to be here again.
It's been a long time.
I was just saying to you walking over here, I mean this, guys. I remember being with you, and I want to say it was around the time we were watching soccer, the World Cup, maybe.
Yes.
Or maybe it was. That sounds right, right?
This might be like a 2008 situation or something like that. We've known each other for a very long time.
Well, when did
this
one start?
This one started in 2014, so probably maybe 20 could have been 2012
yeah,
or 2012.
So it was around that time. Yeah. I remember you talking about really wanting to do this show and working out the deal and trying to figure it out.
Yes.
And every time I watch it when I'm in New York or I'm at home, and I watch it often, and I certainly watch clips a lot, especially when you're talking about Derrick Henry.
Yes, sir.
But I just am so happy for you, man, because you've made such a good show. These guys are fantastic. And the guests you have on are incredible. So I'm really happy for you, man. I really am. I know how important it was, and I think it's just an incredible thing you've created, and I'm proud of you.
I love you for saying that, because, really, you know, to use the Goodfellas phrase, I've been cultivating this caper for a while.
Yes, you have.
I've been talking about it, and you've been there from the very beginning. You know, like I said, you and I go way back like a car seat, and you know a lot about my life and about everything going on. You've been there for a lot.
But you know what? You deserve it, man. You do a great job. It's a fun show, and
thanks, pal.
I'm real, real happy for
you. I appreciate that. And interesting, you mentioned Derrick Henry. Let's just jump right into it, because I was saying, you know, back when he was signed,
yeah,
that this is like if the football gods created an offensive player that is the ultimate Baltimore Raven, I'd imagine it would be Derrick Henry.
It seems that way, doesn't it? It feels that way. It feels
yes, right.
It right. feels right. There are certain players. I think Roquan, from a defensive perspective, felt the same way, right?
Sure.
Just felt right. Marcus Peters at that time felt right. Their guys just feel like Ravens. And Derrick Henry, I keep saying Travis Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Rocco's always giving me a hard time because I'm telling him I'm old. Sometimes I just make mistakes.
Nice, that's right. Yeah,
but
yeah.
Derrick Henry is going to be a great fit. So, yeah, I'm psyched. In fact, after the AFC Championship loss, Rocco, before we got back to New York, was just jotting down at my dad's house some notes. He said, "Dad, here's what I think the Ravens should do."
Mm-hmm.
We were all obviously upset, but he wrote down this little note.
This is in the aftermath of losing the AFC Championship game.
This is in the aftermath.
Okay.
Yeah, I have to go back to the timeline. I know it was January 30th, so I'm pretty sure it was after the game.
Sure.
But he said, "Hey, can you send this to Eric for me? Can you text it to Eric DeCosta for me?" So I said, "Sure." I said, "I'll tell you what." I said, "Derrick Henry for a 4th round pick."
Mm-hmm. That's
now, what he said. That was his idea back January 30th.
There it is. There's the actual proof. Is that on a good old piece of oak tag or something like
what
that?
The hell
like
that is.
This looks like.
Why is it like folding up? I don't know. And that, Rocco, is that your handwriting or my handwriting?
I think he's right next to Brockman right now.
No, that's Pop Al's.
Huh?
It is? I don't know. Maybe mine.
Okay. We're looking through my baseball cards over here.
Okay.
Don't worry about it.
See, Uncle Brockman's on the case.
Dad.
Okay. We're good. All right. He's looking through baseball cards while Dad chit-chats.
Yeah.
And you did in fact send that to the general manager of the Baltimore Ravens?
I said, "Just put a smile on your face," and he said it does. And then when we actually, signed him as a free agent,
yeah, you didn't have to send him anything.
We didn't have to give anything away. I made a joke with Eric, said, hey, you know, can I tell my son that he played some small part in this? And he said, sure.
Go for it.
Have a laugh.
Dude, so, it's a perfect fit.
I think it's going to be great. I'm excited to see it.
Because the number of times that he would just be hit behind the line of scrimmage in Tennessee, and that's the way to stop him, is you got to stop him before he gets started in any way, shape, or form. I think there'll be fewer times in which he will have that behind an offensive line like this and a quarterback that if there's going to be any mesh point stuff between the two of them and you don't know who's got it.
No, it's going to be tough.
Tough
poison.
Or are they going to put, this is fascinating to me, are they going to put Lamar under center a little bit more?
Interesting.
And get the head of steam going in a way that we haven't seen.
I can't wait
because
to see
it's Derrick Henry. You know
I'm
what I'm saying?
I'm excited about it. No, and you're getting me excited. I was saying, you know, you know this, but like after a loss, like I don't read anything. I don't watch anything for like, after the championship loss, I definitely like checked out for a little bit.
Your own so darkness retreat? You went in your own little darkness retreat?
I went to darkness retreat, which happens quite often. And I'm pretty serious about it. And I'm the exact opposite when we win. And I can't read enough, can't watch enough.
Yes.
You know, I'm up till 3 a.m, reading, watching everything.
Right.
So I've just started to kind of come back into the fold of getting my mindset, getting ready for the draft. And certainly the Henry news was very exciting last month.
Yeah, I mean, that is as good as it gets in terms of a signing.
Great.
And then in terms of the amount of money that they coughed up, if that is of any concern to anybody else, you know, because you're trying to build a roster together. And, you know, the loss of Patrick Queen, though, to the Steelers had to be an unkind blow
that one,
as well,
I mean,
right?
That happened at around the same time as the Henry. So it definitely was bittersweet, that part, because I love Patrick Queen. And, you know, he was having such a great year. I know a lot of people are saying, well, Roquan, you know, once Roquan came, it elevated him, made him a lot better.
Right.
And I think that's true, like any great player will, but Patrick Queen was having an incredible season before Roquan came. He was really stepping up his game. And he's a fantastic player. I really saw him going to Seattle or someplace like that. I didn't see him going to the Steelers. So that certainly hurts, because that's one of our arch rivals. But it's football, man. You know what I mean? You got to take the personal out of it. I think, you know, you knew they were in a tough spot. They're going to have to sign one of those guys, and we got Matt Abikwe on a great deal.
No doubt.
That now, with, you know, you look at the other deals going out, it looks like a pretty darn good deal. So I'm excited about where we're going.
Dude, the guy I love the most, and I've told you this, is Kyle Hamilton.
He's pretty great.
Like, they joke around here that he's like my third son.
Yeah.
You know, I do love him.
He's incredible.
He's so talented. And I don't think he's hit his ceiling by any stretch of the imagination.
I mean, he's remarkable. You know? And especially when you look at 2 years ago, his rookie season, of where he came from, and that Miami game in the beginning of the year. Remember, he was getting burnt a lot and figuring it out. And just the journey he took that season and into this year, I agree. He's an exciting player. And look, you know, we're Ravens fans through and through, but I think we got a lot of great pieces, and I'm excited to see what happens.
I've got Josh Charles here on the Rich Eisen Show. The Veil airs Tuesdays exclusively on Hulu, right here on the Roku channel platform. Hit me on the Veil here, brother. What's
cool? It's great. I mean, I love the spy genre. I mean, I'm a sucker for it as a fan. I mean, I love all the shows and movies, and I've never been able to make one. And this is really cool, limited series on FX. We're written by Stephen Knight, you know, Peaky Blinders creator, stars Elizabeth Moss. It's this fantastic, kind of like this great template for the world of spy stories, but also kind of has this intimate sort of independent film vibe. You know, it's a real nuanced kind of character study about these two women playing cat and mouse and playing a game of chess with each other, trying to figure it out. And it's also how all of the different agencies, DGSE, CIA, MI6, kind of work together on this one big situation. So it was fun. I got to do a lot of research for it and talk to some former CIA guys.
No kidding.
Yeah, which was really cool. And I got to film in France, and we were in Paris and London, and they filmed a bunch in Turkey. So it was really cool. I genuinely love the genre, and I was sort of just so bummed that I'd never gotten to be in anything in that world, and so it was fun to play.
So did you have to destroy your notes that you were taking down after these people?
No, because
like,
he was
or did they self-destruct?
No, he was retired, so he didn't give me any top secrets or anything, but it was more like, look, you know, it's kind of incredible, because Stephen Knight is such a good writer, you know, and when you read great writers, you know, it's just the writing just pops, right? It just just sings. And so, obviously, I was a huge fan of Lizzie, and I knew her a little bit personally, but never worked with her. Denise DeNovi produces the show I just work with, and I know Steven's work. So when they approached me about it, I was already intrigued and knew what the show was about. But then you read it, and it just pops. But when you go in and then you have to embody the character, you know, your job is to sort of bring as much authenticity and organic kind of genuine genuineness that you can to the part. And so I didn't know nothing about the CIA, you know, absolutely nothing, only just as a fan watching. So my way in was more about, you know, one of the guys that I got to know and talk to was a really, really good dude. And he happened to be passing through Paris while we were shooting.
Yeah.
So we had dinner one night in a French cafe, and I brought all my scripts and I took him to dinner, and we had like a, you know, just a great French meal. And I just went through everything, just sort of peppering him with questions, asking, well, what would happen here and what would happen here? And you're just looking for little details, sometimes even just nonverbal things that you can, so that I just felt more confident, you know, stepping into the role.
Sure.
And it was really helpful. I mean, I started before we shot, and then was lucky that he happened to be passing through and got to meet him firsthand.
Yeah, I mean, sitting in a French bistro with a spy does sound very Jean Le Carré.
Yeah,
you know,
or
Jean
cool,
Le Carré,
right?
Like, sounds like Ronin, like a scene from Ronin. You know what I mean? Like, that's pretty cool. You haven't been on a while, but so we're kind of have a different platform, so I'm going to re-ask the question that I have asked you before.
Okay.
How old were you for Dead Poets Society again?
How old was I? Well, I don't know if we ever talked about this. I was okay. The Dead Poets Society was supposed to get made the year before with a different director.
Mm-hmm.
And Ethan Hawke and myself were cast in the original production with some other actors. And I was set to go down to Georgia. We were supposed to film it in Georgia, I believe in Rome, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was set to leave like a week or two later. And the film got canceled.
Canceled?
Yeah, got canceled. They were having a hard time finding a star that would attach himself to the project. With the director, you know, they just couldn't find somebody that would agree to do it. And so
in the role of the teacher, you're saying?
Yeah, they couldn't. And the Keating role.
Mm-hmm.
And so it fell apart, and I was devastated because I had screen tests for it. I was super, it was going to be my first big film. And then about a year later, it picked back up, and, Peter Weir was directing it. And I, of course, knew some of his films, and I was thrilled. But I had to re-audition for the film, you know? So that was a really scary experience. And so that was, I don't know, the first time, I think I want to say I was 16 and 17, maybe?
Look
or
at
15
you.
And 16, 16 and 17.
Look at there you right there, man.
Look at that.
Do you still have that W cut. Sweater? Is that you still got that in your closet somewhere?
I don't know, man.
All right.
I'd like to talk to whoever gave me that cut, though. I'd have a word
so
with
you
them right
now. So you reread for the role and you got it.
Reread for the role.
Jeez.
And so if you can imagine that, like, you know, I was cast already, and Peter, I don't know what it was, if he didn't see it or whatever. And, you know, I had to go and show him, and I did. And I remember feeling really, when I walked out, kind of like, man, I gave it my all, but I don't know. And then he hired me. It was great.
How did Robin Williams get attached?
He then got attached during that phase. Mm-hmm. And Ethan was recast, myself, and then some new actors. So yeah, it was a pretty great experience. I have some lifelong friends from it.
What's your favorite Robin Williams moment from that?
God,
because you must
so
have
many.
Known who he was, right? Obviously from
yes.
Were you like a Mork and Mindy fan or
I
something
was,
like that?
I was a Mork and Mindy fan, but I was also when I was my son's age, I got really into stand-up comedy. Even though I did it as a kid, like on open mic nights.
No kidding.
In Baltimore. Yeah, I went to this Charm City Comedy Club. Used to have my dad was in advertising, and some of his copywriters would write me these sort of Henny Youngman type jokes.
No kidding.
It's rough being a kid. It's rough being a kid. You know. And I would do these things. I was just it was you watch it now and you're just like, oh God, it's terrifying. But I was obsessed with Richard Pryor. And so that's all I would do. I would listen to Richard Pryor, and I would just imitate Richard Pryor. So I would do that for Robin sometimes, and that would make him laugh. And that was fun. That was like one of our things that I've always felt really proud about, that I could make him laugh when I just throw some Pryor out. And then, you know, just, you know, I try to think the other things about him is like, yes, he's funny. He kind of, what I remember most about him was that, you know, he was obviously the big star of the film, and we were all these young kids who haven't really done anything. But he was very respectful of, like, where his place was in the film. You know, that this was, like, this story was about all of us telling this together, this collective narrative together. So I always felt like he was very respectful in that regard, and also got to see like just a real quiet side of him. You know, I mean, he's a human being, and obviously, you know, there's just so many lessons to be learned from that, from people sort of projecting onto people that are famous stars, particularly funny people,
right?
That they're not in pain, you know, or going through something, and I think you could tell that just seeing him. He was a complex, you know, just rich individual. And I had a great time with him. I, you know, very fond memories.
I don't know if Garp had already been out yet. I don't know what the timeline of this thing is, but
Witness had been out.
Okay, but
I remember seeing that in the movie theaters, and then.
But I don't know. I don't know if this was.
Well, Witness. I'm saying Peter Weir. I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm
talking Peter Weir was the director, right? But I mean, I'm just wondering if it was jarring to see him in a dramatic role. Like this is one of the first ones. That yeah. he'd ever done. Where
can you look up when Garp was done? Because I feel like I'm a little.
Maybe World According to Garp may have been out, I think, before.
I think you're right.
It was before. I've just been, yeah, they just looked it up in our
they know.
Control room. But it just was always jarring to me to see that movie and see him.
Yeah,
I'm
sure that's why he wanted to do it. And look, he went on and showed numerous films after that, you know, yeah. he was an incredibly versatile actor, you know. I guess that was one of the first ones that showed his dramatic side more than the other.
And I'm just wondering, did we meet over Sports Night for the first time?
I think we met. Either, I want to say at the ESPYs.
Maybe so.
Radio City Music Hall.
Right. And wait a minute. Of course, now I remember.
That's right.
Where you and
me
Peter Krause
did something with you.
Kicked me and Stuart Scott out of our seats.
Exactly. It was like a whole bit.
At the ESPYs.
Yeah.
That's where we met in Radio City.
Well, you weren't with us in my hotel room when David Wells headbutted me.
No, I was not there, but I'm keen to know how the story went.
Oh, all in good fun, but it was great. We had me and Peter. I remember we just had such a night that night. Somehow Wells ended up in our room, and I just was headbutted by him. I don't remember why. It wasn't done aggressively.
I'm wondering if there was a libation or two that spurred this on.
I think that's what we're talking about. It was more in that vein, but definitely hurt. Big boy.
Definitely hurt.
Yeah. Even in my condition at the time, I remember it hurting.
We've been through so much that I had forgotten that's right. That was the idea. Stuart Scott and I were doing the show, the pre-ESPYs
yeah.
warm-up show, and then you and Peter Krause came in and kicked us out
and threw
the break.
Right.
You threw the commercial break.
I don't remember. Was it funny? I don't remember.
It was just, of course it was.
I don't remember. I remember hanging with you then first that night.
Yes.
And that was a long time ago.
That was definitely a long time ago.
Very long time ago.
And then, you know, we've been hanging out since.
Yeah.
Then.
I mean, how long did they do it for at the Radio City? For a while before?
They did, and then they moved it to Vegas.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then that's where, you know, it's been basically every single night in Los Angeles pretty much ever since then.
Right. What was it? Now, exactly.
It's in L.A. pretty much during the All-Star break.
During the All-Star break, they get.
Okay. So Orioles World Series, yeah or nay? What do you think?
Sure.
You get Orioles World Series, Ravens Super Bowl. It's going to be all Ballmer.
Last year was a great year for Baltimore sports. Now, it didn't end well in the postseason for either team,
but
you know, we had to reflect. My dad and I and my son were talking. It was a great sports year for Baltimore. To have both teams so good and thriving.
Yes,
it was just the city was just buzzing, and I am so excited about, you know, the new ownership. I'm excited about the pieces that we have. Mm-hmm. These guys. I think the sky's the limit for the Orioles. I'm super jazzed about it.
Brother, and I'm super jazzed to see you here. New episodes of FX's The Veil exclusively on Hulu every single Tuesday. You're the best, man.
Great to see you, brother.
Good to see you. The great Josh Charles, at Mr. Josh Charles on Twitter and Instagram. Check out, again, The Veil right here on the Roku platform and portal through Hulu. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. Because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We just showed a clip of Josh Charles's show, FX's The Veil, exclusively on Hulu. Right here, you can see on the Roku portal. Every single week, new episodes are airing Tuesdays. And Chris, you said what you want to?
Okay,
so, you want to reset for our radio audience here.
I'll reset. I've been watching this show, The Veil. You know, I watched Homeland. I've watched what's the other one with Krasinski, Jack Ryan. I watch all these spy. You know what I mean?
Spy.
Like, yeah. I feel like I missed out on something. I feel like I could have been in the CIA. I would have been like a great kind of like badass CIA operative.
Well, I'm gonna two words. Offer pushback.
Imagine that.
I don't think you have the personality for that sort of thing.
What do you mean?
All we got to do.
Oh, that's super harsh.
Because you can't.
Wow. What do you mean?
You can't.
Too much
hide your
head?
Feelings. Yeah. You can't.
Okay. I see.
You can't.
So it's like a compliment, but not really.
I mean, all we got to do is to get something out of you is bring up the Celtics 3-point shooting in game two, and it's all. You know what I mean?
Just freaking terrible.
See what I mean? Like, that's not.
Why are you the best team in the league? No,
but.
Just make shots.
That said, who would be, of all of us here, the best CIA operative? Meaning, we don't know. They could be right now.
Oh, wow. That's really
I think
good.
I would
out of
not
all
be
of us here.
The best because I tend to stand out in the crowd a little bit. So I don't think.
But that's you're hiding in plain sight, sir.
Yeah but still, I don't.
Also, you were able to keep the secret of the Price is Right.
That is true.
Like
I keep all types of secrets on the
keep
DO.
Secrets.
That is true.
Yeah, he won't even blow the cover that
won't
we all
even
know.
Say names
he won't,
of people he won't, that we know
yeah.
that he's associated with. Known associates.
Everybody. Correct. Known associates. He won't even talk about them.
So that's. The game and you guys put me back in the game.
That
so
said, you know the
you word... name drop everybody, so you wouldn't.
Oh, I'm. I'm not good at. What you see is what you get here, buddy. That's why I was a terrible host of The Great Escape. It's There's no mystery about me.
You're just not mysterious.
They wanted me to be mysterious as the host of The Great Escape, a great reality show competition program on TNT. Bertram Van Munster.
It was great.
The best in the business.
Flying international today. It could be you. You could be on a mission right now.
Well, the fact is, you might be the winner there because you hide the fact that you might be the wealthiest person in this room. You drive the best car. You have side businesses. You've got a side hustle.
I just ran payroll.
This is a hobby for you.
Yeah, he don't even need to be here.
Del Tufo does it because that's all he knows.
He's addicted to
work. If I'm not mistaken, the whole point of the whole rumor was that the game show host Chuck Barris, the Gong Show host, and there was a whole movie about this, right?
Yeah, he was an operative.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there's a whole movie based on
I didn't know that.
That
Sam Rockwell.
Right, Sam Rockwell.
who's criminally underrated, by the way.
No doubt.
Agreed.
Sam Rockwell's the man.
No doubt. Oscar winner Sam Rockwell. Yeah. And that, so you'd see him as the host of the Gong Show. The last thing you'd think of is that guy is an operative for the Central Intelligence Agency. In that respect, Del Tufo's got the best cover. And it might finally be the... It might finally be...
Russian bots that happen.
No, it's not Russian bots. Every time he Instagrams out a photo, the number of people who like it are all the people around the world he's signaling to start an operation.
Wow.
Rich, it just hit me.
That they have just... When they hit his Instagram photo with a like, that means they've been activated.
Well, you know when we
I have everything.
Remember
ready?
When we were
that
just
guy.
So, remember we were just so
it's a great cover.
And Del Tufo used to love to go like, "I'm helping TJ fight the bots." It just hit me. Yeah. He wasn't blocking them. No. He was adding them.
He was bringing them in.
He was bringing them in. He was opening up the. He was the Trojan horse for Russian bots.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just saying,
makes
guys.
Sense, Rich.
Not saying. I'm just saying that he's a perfect cover. Nobody looks at him and says he's up to something. Well, that's what actually we say that every time. Hold on a minute. He's not saving the world. He's up to something. Okay. Okay.
Okay.
Good
really
good talk.
I appreciate that, Mikey.
Thanks, Mikey.
I really appreciate that, Mikey.
Is that Matt Rule?
I have no idea what that is. As a matter of fact, you know what? He's not here.
Just
when we don't like a drop, delete that.
Delete it.
Hit delete. Because he's now making up drops that have not been approved by. By the way, he's gone rogue. He's a rogue CIA agent.
Rogue.
He just went rogue. He's a rogue operative. Sean in Kansas has been hanging on forever. What's up, Sean? What's on your mind, sir?
Oh, man. Thank you so much for taking my call. First time, long time.
Attaboy.
I appreciate everything you've done, Rich.
Thank you.
From SportsCenter to now, you've been a huge inspiration. I got into the radio business because of you, sports journalist because of you, so just big thanks.
No kidding.
Big thanks.
I was about to take a sip of my coffee, but that just made me put my mug down, so thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Before I tell you why Matt Ishbia is the dumbest owner in sports, I got
I almost spat take that one out. He's so erudite. He was so... You know, he moved me.
That was awesome.
He moved me right there. Now let me tell you why this guy's so dumb.
Rich,
I'm sorry.
You're a real inspiration. Let me tell you about this idiot.
Uninspired. The exact opposite. All right, Sean, what's up?
TJ something. I've known two people in the last month. I'm not going to name drop them, but that have been on Price is Right. One got $10,000 on the wheel. The other won the Showcase Showdown. They made it look so easy. I don't know why TJ made it look so hard.
Hey, Sean, I got there, buddy.
All right, he's trying to entertain.
I got to the finish line, Sean. It was me and one of the
person. Sean's talking about people who did get to the finish line. And by the way, in order to get to the finish line, as successful as you possibly can, $10,000 on the Showcase Showdown is what we call the max.
Yeah, that's true.
And then getting to the Showcase, you got... nothing. There was a double over, which is absolutely the most unsatisfying finish Price is Right can tee up for the viewer.
Sean, you had me and then you lost me.
Double over.
Now, Sean, what are you saying?
Double overs is when you're screaming at the screen saying, are these people that stupid? You know?
Yeah, Rich, like, you know how much a Harley Davidson costs. Get out of here.
Let it go, TJ.
All right, Sean. I'm sorry.
Sean, I've been a lifelong Suns fan. My dad lives down in Phoenix. He used to take me to the games when Nash and Stoudemire and Marion were doing their thing. You know, that team had depth and they had a bench. And, you know, two or three years ago when we were up 2-0 on the Bucks, that team had depth and they played defense and they had a point guard. And Ishbia came in and said, I'm going to just throw everything away. I'm going to sell the farm, the summer house, the winter ski lodge, and I'm going to go get Kevin Durant. I texted my dad. I said, this isn't going to work. Because you can't just have two or three shooters and no defense and no depth. And everything Frank Isola said earlier is spot on. You cannot just pay Bradley Beal whatever he wants and not focus on defense or two-way players. And that's why I think Budenholzer is going to be fired next year after a first-round exit.
Wow.
So,
I don't know, man. I hope.
But thanks.
Sean, thanks for holding on as long as you did and providing us with a laugh and something to think about. Sean in Kansas, everybody.
I'm not a punch.
Hey, listen, Sean. I don't know what they're going to do. You don't have DeAndre Ayton, and I know that they were looking for the exits with him for a while, despite how incredibly talented he is. But you don't hire somebody like Frank Vogel, who is successful with a big man in the middle everywhere he's been, and send your big man away. By the way, the only positive that could be is you sent Damian Lillard out of your conference, and they did set up, you know, themselves for Bradley Beal, who turned out to be highly disappointing and now thoroughly untradeable. So if one of them's got to go, is it Durant or Booker? And it's basically who wants to raise their hand first and say, I want out. I don't know. But I know everybody in this studio, although I think you're already maxed out. You already got your team, sir, 60-win team. You and I will raise our hands on the East Coast for Devin Booker if he wishes to live in the Acela corridor.
Wait, so you're admitting I'm from the East Coast now?
No, you root for a team on the East Coast.
Okay, I'm just saying.
I didn't call us East Coasters.
Well, said, it's what you meant.
No, I didn't.
It's what you meant.
No, no. You are, sir, Altoona. You're not going to the beach there, sir.
You don't know nothing about Canoe Creek, bro. Like
Canoe Creek.
That's correct. Right. I don't know anything about Canoe Creek.
Well, it's a beach.
Can confirm.
Is what I'm saying. Or it's a lake. Or a creek, I guess.
So, okay.
You know, creek. What is happening?
All right. It's a Friday. It's time for What's More Likely. And What's More Likely is presented by T. Rowe Price. Hit it.
T. Rowe. What?
What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right. Let's roll. What's More Likely Friday? I love these. These
hey,
are always
everybody.
Fun.
What's up? Everybody good?
Hey.
You guys good?
I wasn't
until
Sean from Kansas called.
All right.
Just kind of ruined my day.
Let it go, man. Okay, I just saw a great clip of Jaden Daniels throwing a bomb in practice. Rookie camp, I can't get enough of it. Who's more likely to be Offensive Rookie of the Year? Okay. Jaden Daniels or any wide receiver this year? Not just his $10,000 bet with Malik Nabers that apparently just got called off.
Yeah, Malik Nabers says he's tapping out of that. He said he's since been educated on sports betting now that he's a member of the Giants. I believe
smart move.
The NFL front office Malik reached out and touched Malik.
Jaden Daniels or any wide receiver this year?
Any wide receiver. There's so many good ones.
The fact that you left all the quarterbacks out, that's tough.
Man, so that's why I'll go with any wide receiver. Jaden Daniels also has the horses. Nobody talks about the rest of the offense that's around
players,
him. I know.
Washington.
I know.
Good players.
But
Washington.
Marvin. Listen, here's how I'll say this, especially in light of the outgoing athletic director in a certain town in the state of Ohio talking about there needs to be an asterisk on a certain 3-game win streak. That happened. I saw what Gene Smith had to say in Columbus. What, over the last 2 years, is the prerequisite of being Offensive Rookie of the Year in the NFL? Two things. You have to have a stellar rookie season on offense.
Yep.
Two
and?
Is you have to lose your last game to Michigan as a member of the Ohio State. So Marvin Harrison fits that bill.
Yeah.
Right?
He does.
Okay. Just wanted to point that out.
Okay. Thank you, Rich.
Asterisk needs to be on a 3-game win streak that started before Connor Stallions was hired by Michigan. But I'm just saying.
What are Connor's up to these days?
Hold on a minute.
Roma Dunze fits
one
that
last
well,
thing for Gene Smith, the outgoing athletic director of Ohio State.
What are we doing?
I'm offering up.
Oh, goodness.
A tissue.
We've hijacked the segment for more
your
personal
issue.
Vendettas against Ohio State.
Here you go, Gene. That's for you.
All right. Did you hear what Tom Telesco said, Raiders GM?
What did he say, Chris?
There's a quarterback competition. Who's more likely to start more games for the Raiders this year, Gardner Minshew or Aiden O'Connell?
I'll go Gardner
Minshew. Because you want that birthday party invite.
No. That's a good one. I like Gardner. By the way, Gardner Minshew is the quarterback of the Raiders.
Kind of a match made in heaven.
Oh, my God. Kent Stabler's smiling by the light of the jukebox wherever he is right now and saying, let's go. Honestly.
That's like, Feller's quarterback.
Him in a Raider uniform doing Gardner Minshew things is going to be a lot of fun. And I just think, again, this is just with all due respect to both gentlemen, a placeholder for whoever's going to be next there.
Seems like it.
They were the ones who got left without a chair.
Rumors they're trying to move up.
The Giants. Yeah. Right. So in this year's draft. But I'll go Gardner. He's the more exciting guy, and I think he is going to win some games for them in the same way that he won games for Indianapolis. It'll be fun.
I heard this on Total Access clip yesterday. Robert Turbin talking about the wide receiver trios in the NFL. He likes the Seahawks to have the best one. Who is more likely to have the best wide receiver trio in 2024? Seattle, the Chicago Bears, or the Miami Dolphins?
Who are you leaving out, pal? Leaving anybody out?
The Cowboys.
Get out of here, dude.
I don't think so. I mean, talk about big names.
I'm saying.
You know, Dolphins have Tyreek, Waddle, and now Odell. The Bears have DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and
CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert.
Stop it. This guy over there. Stop it.
Rico Daddle on a wheel route.
Oh man, take it to the crib, baby.
You know, Cincinnati used to be kind of on this list, but now
Tyler Boyd is on Tennessee.
Tyler Boyd is elsewhere.
What about the Jets?
You know, the Chiefs have
Randall Cobb and...
I don't think Randall Cobb's anymore. Nice troll job, pal. Get your information right if you're going to come at the Jets.
Wow. Hey, TJ,
I'm handing out tissues, sir.
I got a lot here.
I'm handing out tissues. Better be careful right now. I'm in a mood. I'm going to go Dolphins. Let's go. And I understand why Turbin would say the Seahawks.
Yeah, they got.
I think Jackson Smith and Jigba will perform better this year than he did last year. He did come on strong at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But I'll just go again. Tua with those two guys, and then Odell in that mix, and they got a ton of
speed.
Really good young receivers also in this draft. So I'll go with the Dolphins. What else, Chris? What else?
All right, let's keep talking quarterbacks.
I like it.
Second year quarterback, yes. More likely to make the playoffs.
What do you got?
Bryce Young, Anthony Richardson, Will Levis.
Oh, I'll go Anthony Richardson, pal. Who's played
two games.
I don't understand.
He hasn't played. He hasn't proven to me he can last a month in the league.
So there's a reason why you have all three of these guys up on the screen. One was on a team so bad they got the first overall pick for another year and couldn't use it because they traded it up to get that kid. And the other one is,
I'm just giving you pushback.
The other team didn't, like the Colts, play for the right to win their division in the final game of their regular season last year. So I'm going to go Anthony Richardson. Hell yeah. I can't wait to see what he's going to look like in year two.
Yeah, I saw some clips of him the other day. Okay.
Yeah, by the way, we were all like witnessing that.
I know, but he didn't even finish him.
I don't understand. I give a decisive response and the pushback comes right away.
That's what you do to me every time I answer a question.
Yeah, you know what? I'm still
kind
of mad about the CIA thing. I didn't think I could be in the CIA. How about this one? $50 million quarterback per year to win a Super Bowl first.
Dak and who else?
That's not $50 million right now. Burrow,
rich.
Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts.
All right. Ooh, I'm going to say it again for everybody in the back.
You said the answer right the first
time. I'm going to say it again for everyone in the back, and you know how I feel about Jalen Hurts, and you know how I feel about Jim Harbaugh, and you know how much I really like what the Ravens have put together. Another Harbaugh.
Two-time MVP.
But Joe Burrow has been... to a Super Bowl. The only other one on the screen is Jalen Hurts, who played lights out there. Joe Burrow, pal. If he stays healthy.
Well, that's a pretty big if there.
I get it.
Georgie boy.
He is the only one there's only one quarterback in the National Football League now who has beaten Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game. That's it. The other one is hanging in Venice after being... the subject of one of the most crazy-ass roasts ever.
There's only one of those quarterbacks that have two MVPs, though. Two.
I understand. True. I got it. Joe Burrow. That's who I choose. Well, who do you choose?
Oh, I'm in on this.
Who do you choose?
Oh,
well,
man,
you gave your original answer was the right answer, but since he doesn't make 50 yet, you know what? I'm going for Lamar, man.
Oh, I'm still going Jalen Hurts, man.
Okay.
I can't subscribe.
Great. To that. Put a pin in that one, gents. Send it to Freezing Cold Takes.
Yeah, right. All right, little hoops before we get to the final segment here. What's more likely? The Nuggets win the next two games in Minnesota.
Nuggies.
Or the T-Wolves sweep the champs.
T-Wolves sweep the champs is a much better, more likely scenario. I don't think the Nuggets even the series and go back.
Yeah, why not?
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they get swept.
I don't think either of these things happen. I think they split here.
Swept, but the way it's looking right now.
You think it's 3-1 going back to Denver?
Correct. And then we'll see what happens.
Do they win tonight or do they win game four and then it's basically over?
Oh, if I had to choose which one, I'll say Denver makes it a series tonight.
We can go home now.
That would be fun.
Is what I will say.
That'd be fun.
We need a series, so...
Ooh. Is Jokic getting the award in front of the Minnesota fans tonight? Have we not heard about this?
I haven't seen anything.
Any rate,
either way,
much more likely will be the T-Wolves sweep the Nuggets rather than the Nuggets make it a pivotal game five.
All right, two more quick ones. Let's talk a little Knicks, Rich. More likely to be the higher total, Jalen Brunson points in game three or Josh Hart minutes played?
Josh Hart's minutes played. Josh Hart minutes played. I think he goes 48 again tonight.
Yeah, the thing is, Rich Brunson's going to have 50, you know. So.
No. No.
Who knows?
That's a possibility.
He could. Why couldn't he?
That would be great. And, you know, the only reason why that happens is because he plays in a big market. So. What else, Chris?
Last one, and this is kind of just for me. More likely team from Boston to absolutely blow it and ruin everyone from New England's entire spring. The Bruins or Celtics? Because it seems like both.
You want to answer that one?
They're both happy. It's both. Both. They're both going to blow it.
Okay. I don't know who's bigger in Boston area, so you'd have to let me know.
Bruins town.
I will go Bruins. I think your Celtics are going to turn out to be all
Bruins
right.
Bruins might be toast. Florida's
and really take good. On the Knickerbockers.
Florida's really good.
They're gonna wind up taking on Gerald and Sly Williams on Ivy Bags.
I thought you would say Gerald Wilkins.
Okay, Gerald Wilkins is coming back. Yeah.
Houston,
Kenny Skywalker. The ghost of Ken the Animal Bannister.
Bill Wennington, is he still around?
He never played for the Knicks. He played at St. John's.
He didn't play for the Knicks, though?
I don't believe so. Wow. That's What's More Likely, presented by T. Rowe Price, where confidence comes from a curiosity to uncover opportunities others may miss. T. Rowe Price asks smart questions to better understand risks, develop insights, and give clients an investment edge. Better questions, better outcomes. Learn more at TRowePrice.com/curiosity. We take a break and finish up this wild, fun week of the Rich Eisen Show and send everybody to their Mother's Day weekends.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
All right, we used to do this a lot. I don't know why we stopped doing it, just because we didn't have the coverage on our cameras or whatever. But we're back, baby.
Did you run out?
We've been back. I don't know. But the number of credits I've been fortunate to have as myself on television and film. How many do I have?
It says 25.
25, yeah.
Oh, 25. More than that on IMDb. That's it. Well, at any rate, I get residual checks from SAG-AFTRA every now and then, and I open them up on the air to see what candy bar I can buy based on how much money I make. Hit it.
Pay that man his money.
Okay, it's residual rich time. All right, you ready? Here we go. I'm now opening up the envelope here. I have no idea. This is for... Puppy Dog Pals, the episode, the Bark Bowl that I was in.
are we guessing the amount?
Sure. Would you like to guess the amount?
Yeah.
Would you like to guess the amount?
Gosh. I'm going to say
28 cents.
I'm going to say 11 cents.
All right. Closest without going over. You want to guess?
45 cents.
45 cents. You win. Closest without going over. The amount is $14.17. Look at that one right there.
Oh, that's a full value, man.
I got another one.
That's a king size bar. That's four Twix.
How much time we got left in this segment? Oh, 30 seconds. We can do that. Next one up. Next one up is... Oh, I can't do that one.
Is that like a real check?
Oh, my God, is it?
Whoa!
Come on, Rich.
We
got to know, baby.
Oh, this one was from Disney's The Kid.
You got nice.
Which one?
25 cents.
What do you got?
$1.15.
$1.13.
You are correct, Chris Brockman. The actual retail price is... $8.17. Look at all that.
Get Rich a little more
and this other one, I can't believe I almost opened up on the air.
Why not?
Okay.
Billy Bob Thornton situation.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
Can we do an over-under on that
No,
one?
You cannot, sir. Moving on.
Is it higher than Del Tufo's likes on his...
Slightly.
Oh, wow. Can we ask the product? The
not
project?
Too much. No. It's okay.
Well, you're going to tell us later anyway.
No, it's all right. Anyway, we're back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. Malik Nabers is not going to continue his wager with Jaden Daniels, by the way. Apparently, they said they were going to bet on who's going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Right.
I basically said, don't do it, Malik, because you're going against a quarterback that's not easy, and your quarterbacks might not be the ones who can get you to where you want to go. He also said he has found out from the league that sports gambling is not a good idea. Although this is just a friendly wager amongst friends or whatever.
Yeah, but it's for five figures.
Oh, is that what it was for?
Very public.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, though, this is a neat thing. Malik Nabers had this to say about what football has done for him.
As a person, you know, that plays football, you know, the kind of thing that saved my life. So, you know, I take it serious. So. Like, again, you know, I'm happy to be here. I'm finally here. So just to get out there running with the guys, you know, it's a dream come true.
Why did football save your life?
You know, it was the only thing that I felt like I could do with my life. You know, it was the only thing that I felt like, you know, when I looked on what I wanted to do in the future, it was the only thing that, you know, I had, you know, plans to do. So it saved me and my family's life. You know, it put my mom in the house that she want. You know, it changed my life forever. So I'm happy to be here.
How important was it to take care of mom?
It was very important. You know, that was the most important thing in my life, I would probably say, is, you know, having her, you know, have her own house, you know, feel comfortable and not having to worry about, you know, bills to pay, you know. You know that her, you know, her little boy did it for her.
Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Malik Nabers,
awesome,
one to root for. Excited to hear that. And my only thing I would tell Malik, and I will tell him through here since we haven't had him on yet, is to... You know, use your opportunity of playing in the New York, New Jersey market to meet as many people and get out there and find out what the next thing after football is, because football can be very, very fleeting. Yeah. And if football is the only thing you know, I would counsel to find out more things that would interest you and enrich you, not just, you know, financially, but emotionally, spiritually. Yeah. And New York, New Jersey market is filled with people that I think would love to find out what Malik Nabers you want to do next.
Absolutely.
Because, man, football is fast. And even if you have a remarkable Hall of Fame career, it will be over for you potentially in your mid-30s. Mm-hmm. And then you got to find out what you do next. And football will be gone. Potentially.
He's in a great spot to make all that
is
stuff happen.
Is he ever?
Post-career, too. So.
Is he ever? That's, yeah. I mean, things can happen for you. If you make it there, you can make it anywhere. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying.
A lot of jokes on Twitter that Malik Nabers had one practice with Daniel Jones.
And then he called off his bet. Okay. Yeah. Except Daniel Jones isn't practicing. Okay, everybody just stop trolling.
A lot of jokes.
Stop trolling.
Chris.
Even though I was the one who said.
You know this bet we made? That's stupid. Let's
you know, that's silly, man.
You know, I was joking, right?
Yeah, I mean,
you're the quarterback. Come on, guys. Even though I said he shouldn't take that bet because of who his quarterback is, even I think that's a bridge too far.
Right.
Even though I was already you know, spanning that bridge yesterday.
Hey, look, we're just following the
sandwich, okay. Rich.
Takes a lot of cutlets to pay that bet off.
Hey.
What a great show. Funny show.
Funny show.
I want to thank Josh Charles. Everybody check out the FX is the Veil on Hulu.
Hulu.
And then everybody check out the debut of HBO on HBO and Max tomorrow. Nikki Glaser, Someday you'll die. She's already posting about her appearance here. The photograph that you took of the two of us together, she wrote, I love Rich Eisen on it. Oh, and I just want to say this before we go. Nikki, do not put a bullet in your boyfriend for this, okay? I know that's the way you react to Michigan men that you're around.
Wow. I love how he never misses an opportunity.
Never.
Never misses an opportunity.
Can't miss that.
Do I want to equate myself to Tom Brady?
I like
Rich Eisen.
That's
the latest one. Hey, we just keep on racking it up, baby. The sports comforter. Hey.
Cage Brockman's in the house.
Welcome to Talkville,
the ultimate Smallville rewatch podcast. Guest star Sarah Carter as Alicia Baker.
Although I didn't really work with her a lot. But Tom did, and they had some real big smoochy scenes.
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Could there be any more sex? What was a three-page makeout scene that just kept going? Good Lord. We get it. They have chemistry.
Jump in now or catch up on any of the past seasons of Talkville on YouTube or wherever you listen.